Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to read you out Isaiah 55:11. It's a pretty familiar verse here because I use it an awful lot. But Isaiah 55:11, God says this. He says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I send it." He says, this is so, we say, I read this verse a lot and just kind of say it kind of fast, but I want you to realize today that what makes the things of God happen in your life, what makes things happen in this earth is His Word. I love the analogy He uses here. He just got, you know, he says, "So shall my word be." Then that must mean, that just means my word will be just like that. And so often we read this stuff and we don't find out what that is. But He just gets through telling a story here. He says, "For the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and it doesn't return there. But instead, it waters the earth, and it makes the earth bring forth buds, so that those buds can give you seed to sow, and they can give you bread to eat." That's amazing. You understand what that little story, that little example right there tells us? He says that His word is just like that. The water comes down and makes something spring forth that produces everything you need to live. The seed to sow so that you'll keep having more buds, so that you'll have plenty to eat, and so that you'll have plenty to sow. Now you have to get with me for a couple minutes here. You have to listen tight. Because what we do is, if we're not careful, we pray for God to keep sending the seed. We pray for Him to keep giving the blessing. We pray for Him to keep giving, meeting our needs. And He said, "My word is just like when rain comes down and causes and produces something that you can sustain your life with, and you'll never go without again." Because how many know, as long as there's seed to plant and wheat grows, you'll have all the bread you need to eat. Unless you're on a diet with no bread there, but. "Oh God, give me," He said, "my word will do what I sent it to do." I want you to begin to understand and hear this. Because we're too busy saying, "Oh God, would you do this?" He said, "I sent my word down there. And just like this other illustration, my word won't come back to me void. It won't come back to it. It'll stay there and it'll produce what I sent it to produce." You understand, when He spoke, yes, when He spoke the worlds into existence, His word didn't go back up there anymore. His word stayed here in the earth and worked. That's why it says that Jesus was the Word made flesh. Maybe we'll get that far today. But I want you to grab this. Because The whole chapter of Isaiah 55 here is an invitation for all of us who believe to receive abundant life. Now, when you go home today, you ought to read it again. It's an invitation for whosoever will, for all of us who believe. It's an invitation for us to receive and to live abundant life. Jesus said, I came so you could have life and you could have it more abundantly. Is that scripture? Okay. The word is just like seed. It's planted. And seed grows plants. It grows in our heart. I just want you to think about this. This book that you hold and carry so people will think you're a Christian. This book that you and I pick up every once in a while and read. This book is full of seeds. Why? Because God spoke them. This book is full of seeds that will grow in my life. They'll grow in whatever area of my life I need to grow, something to grow in. If I plant the seeds, the words that God spoke, those things will grow. They will grow if I plant them. And let me just throw this little thought out. We planted some elephant ear bulbs the other day, a week or two ago. And I'm going out every day looking, hoping there's a elephant ear coming up out of there. And so far, there's not one coming. But you know what? I know if I don't keep digging that bulb up, and if I'll just keep watering that, I know that that thing's going to grow. My point is, just because the plant hasn't grown in your life yet doesn't mean that it's not still in the process. Well, if all that's true, Hank, then how come we're not living there? Well, I won't ask for a show of hands, but I'll say this, every one of us, and I will raise my hand, we're not living where God intended for us to live. We're on our way. We're kind of doing it. We're close sometimes. But how come? How many ever said, how come, God? How come, God? Maybe you phrased it a little different, but what's the deal? How come? Well, Jesus kind of gave us a little illustration in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We all know it as the parable of the sower. I've got time to read it real quick. It says here in chapter 4, starting with verse 3, he says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony grounds, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But others fell on good ground, and they yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. How many ever heard that story? I don't want you to take away anything you've ever learned from that story, but I'm probably not going to tell you that story today the way you've heard it. Because I just, as I read this, I just saw things about me, ways that I hear the word. How many know God's end doesn't need adjusting? My end's the one that needs adjusting. And so I just want to throw a few thoughts out today. Just give you something to think about. How many knows if there's a problem between me and God, it's probably on my end, not on His end. I mean, if something doesn't seem to be, if my elephant ear doesn't seem to be growing yet, the problem's not on His end, it's on my end. Now this is an interesting story here because, listen, this is what I want you to hear first. We know it's four types of ground, and so I've even heard people use this for salvation, and some people won't listen and all that. But when I read the scripture, I have to apply it to my life. I have to say, hey, God, what does this mean for me? Holy Spirit, you got a message for me in here. And so right now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you use me to give us all a message that you want us to hear about, Father. Amen. The same seed that hit the wayside and was snatched away, the same seed that was planted on earth and didn't have any root, the same seed in all four of these things, the same seed could produce 30, 60, or 100 fold. This is what I want you to understand. It's the same seed in all four of these categories. And it's the same seed in your life that will either produce 30, 60, or 100 fold. We get to thinking, well, God just wanted me to have 30 fold on this. No, you have the ability to receive the 100 fold from the seed. But sometimes we settle for the 30, or we settle for the 60. Jesus said, as your faith is, so be it. But it's the same seed that will grow, and it'll grow the same in everybody's life if they will plant it. Now, as I read this, I begin to see things that you understand today. I'm not talking about a heaven or hell. I'm talking about the devil stealing your game. I'm talking about him stopping your faith from working. You with me? And I discovered as I read this, all four of these situations, these types of ground, I have been all four of these types of ground. And every time, Every situation in my life, everything I face, I still have the opportunity to be either one of these four, and I have to make a choice which I'm going to be. Is that okay? I'm trying to get you on board with me here. So he starts off and says the wayside. I'm not going to read all these scriptures. But he starts off saying, and he says, now the sower sows the word. Do you understand? The same seed was sown on all four types of ground. It wasn't the seed that made it not produce in any of the first three. It was the ground that the seeds planted in. The same seed was capable of producing 100 fold in all four areas. Says these are the ones by the wayside. They're the ones that the word's sown, and Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, I just want you to understand something. You have an enemy, Jesus said, and he's a thief, and he's here to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He said, I am the one that came so that that invitation in Isaiah 55 to live abundant life can manifest in your life. So the enemy is going to do everything he can to stop you from receiving what God has for you. Is everybody still with me? Okay, poke the one next to you and say, wake up. He's going to tell us something good here in a minute. And if you keep prophesying that, I'll say something good before we get done. The wayside. Now, the wayside, this is just some thoughts that came to me, okay? The wayside is just kind of, you understand the ground is how you hear. What did Jesus say in here? Let me do that real quick. What did he say? In chapter 4 here, it says in verse 2, right before he gives this parable, it says, And then he taught them many things by parables, and then he said to them, Then he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in his teaching, he said, listen, behold. In other words, he's taught them many things, and he looks out and he sees this gaze look on their face. He's talked and he just sees it. When you ever been talking to somebody and they're looking at you and you just know they're not hearing a word you're saying? Kind of like some of you are doing today to me. You know what I'm saying. Can you picture this? Jesus has taught them many things, and he looks out and he says, listen, behold. And then he gives this parable. He said, this is how the word comes in, and this is the different ways we hear the word. Because he ends up that thing, he says, if you have ears to hear, hear. You understand what he's talking about? What he's talking about to me here is, Hank, will you pay attention and will you listen? How many know we can listen sometimes and not hear? But when I see this wayside, it's just kind of an indifference. I mean, have you ever been in a crisis, or you just been going along? Help me, Holy Spirit. Have you ever just picked up your Bible and started reading, and you read 3 or 4 chapters, and you didn't no more knew what you read than anything in the world? Wayside. Are you hearing me? Huh? Did you ever sit and listen to a message? I know it won't happen to you today, but did you ever sit and listen to a message and you got done and somebody said, what did the preacher talk about? And you said, well, I don't know. I think he talked about Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Casual hearing. Casual. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've heard that a bunch of times. Yeah, I know. Anybody ever done that? How many know we will still do that, because the devil, the enemy, will steal the word from you by getting you to think about something else. I sometimes will sit and I'll read 3 or 4 chapters and I'll be thinking about, yeah, I need to get out and mow the grass. Yeah, I wonder if I need to charge the battery on my lawnmower. Yeah, I want, you know, and I'm reading, and what's happening? It's just wayside, man. It's just seed that's thrown out there. Well, I hope I'm not just telling on myself today. See, I like to use myself in these examples so I don't preach to you. Get on you. Huh? You know, we got a weird idea in the ministry. The ministry isn't, we're not to get on everybody. We're just supposed to tell everybody the good news about Jesus. Huh? And help you get on the wagon. Huh? Help you get on with Him. He goes on there and he says, we got to move on here. And he says, Stony ground. What did he say? He said, these are like the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, and they endure only for a time, and afterward, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. I thought about this, and the word that the words that came to me were no commitment. I mean, you have to be committed to something to get something out of it. Huh? How many know it doesn't take you start a new program. We don't have problems starting things. We just have trouble finishing them. Huh? I mean, we get all excited about the things of God, and we're okay as long as those excitement's going and those feelings are going, but there's no commitment, and as long as it doesn't cost anything, woo, God loves us. He wants to bless us. Are you with me? But when it starts to cost me something, and the devil starts putting up a little opposition against me, and I don't feel it anymore, stony ground. I don't have any roots. You ever see anybody? Yeah, I talked with a gentleman the other day, and I said, "Are you a Christian?" And you know, you ought to ask everybody if they're saved. If they're not, you ought to tell them how. You don't have to get the King James look on your face and get all weird. Just talk to them, man, like you'd talk to anybody, and just say, "Man, if you just ask him into your heart, he'll come." Huh? Just so you, last month we had 64 people saved. That's in the service here. That's on Saturday night. We got Maurice got a bunch saved in the jail. We just are getting people saved. Are you getting people saved? Okay, but anyway. I talked to a guy the other day and I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes, I'm a Christian." And I said, "Where do you go to church at?" He said, "Well, I don't go to church." And you know what I thought? I thought about stony ground. No commitment. See, if you just bounce from here to there, and I just want to go all these places, you never have to commit. Are you with me? Now, y'all be glad that you're here today when I'm talking about this, see? Do you understand what I'm saying? And no root. Listen, God puts you in a church. Do you know how many folks I've had come in here and they go, "Oh, man, oh, we've been looking for a church, and oh, we just sense the presence of God here, and oh, we just love it." And 2 or 3 weeks, they're not here anymore. I don't see them anymore. Stony ground. Huh? See, you have to be committed. And I believe God puts us in a church. I don't think we get to pick our church. I trust you. Several times I'd have picked a different one. Not today, though. Not today. Why does He do that? Because He wants to establish us. He wants to give us some roots. He wants us to face some responsibility. He wants to see if we'll keep our nose to the grindstone when everything's not going our way. When I'm not feeling nothing. When nothing good's happening to me. I can't see that elephant ear coming out of that ground at all. But I just know that I know that I know that I know. Are you with me? Amen. Well, you're lucky I didn't even have that on my... Can I tell you something? Now, I'll get done with this, don't worry, but what I'm seeing in Christianity today, you know, and listen, nobody's going to preach the blessing of God more than me, and that's why I'm doing some of this foundation stuff here, because I want God to be big in your life. There's some of you that God's already got some stuff working. You hadn't seen it yet. It hadn't come above the ground yet, but it's working in your life. And if I can just get you to stay the course, if I can just keep you focusing on Him, something's going to happen in your life. Bigger than you ever dreamed. But I don't see that elephant ear coming up today. Can I tell you what I see? I hear all the blessing teaching and all, and I'm gonna do it more than I ever have, okay? I hear all the prosperity and all the blessing, and I'm just gonna do it because my God's good and He wants to bless His kids, and so I'm gonna let you know about it. But you know what I see a lot of places, and it even happens in me if I'm not careful. We want to do anything possible except live for God. I mean, we want to do anything. We want all that God has for us. And I want to commit. I want to do anything except just live for God. Can I tell you something? Let me tell you how to receive abundance and walk in God's favor and blessing and walk in that hundredfold realm. Don't try to figure out all the steps and all the numbers and all the formulas and all the rest of it. Just get up in the morning and say, God, I belong to You and I'm going to live for You. If I see an elephant ear coming up out of the ground, I'm going to live for You and praise You. If I don't see it coming up yet, I'm going to live for You and praise You anyway. If I feel good, I'm going to praise You. But if I don't feel nothing, I'm still going to live for You. This isn't in question. I'm committed to You. You want God's blessing on your life? Why don't you just get committed?
Well, I'm committed. Don't tell me I'm not committed.
If you felt something like that rise up in you, then you better examine. You got the problem. Because I have to tell Him every day, Lord, my commitment's dwindling here. I gotta stay focused on You. Does that make any sense? Well, I'm glad I said it anyway. Thorny ground. Says here that they hear the word. It's sown. They hear it. Where's the word sown? It's sown into our hearts. We're the ground. And it says they hear the word. But then the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire of other things enters in. And it, what does it say it does? It says it chokes out the word. Are you hearing me? Do you understand how the devil can stop God from doing in your life what He wants to do in your life? Is if He can choke out the word. If He can get you not to listen to it. Wayside. If He can get you to just, well, I know I need to live for God. I know I need to get committed. I know I need to be part of the church. I know that, but I'll do it later. Or if He can just get you, see the thorny ground isn't bad, folks. Actually, none of this is bad, folks, because I catch all these areas in my life, and I'm not a bad folk. Huh? I'm pretty good folk. Huh? God likes me. Huh? Matter of fact, I'm the one Jesus loves. Huh? And so this stuff happens, and when I catch myself in one of these situations, I don't just say you're a bad person. No, I just say you need to straighten up. Huh? You need to repent and turn around and go God's way. And folks, I have to do that some days a bunch of times a day. So I haven't done that in years. I know that's why you're where you're at. See, you can be, and matter of fact, this happens to more people that are serving God and living for God. You know, how many here, and don't raise your hand on this, but some of you sitting here today, you're Christian and you know it, but you're just going through life. You don't know what's going to happen next, and you're just going, man, I hope I don't get sick, or I hope, you're just waiting for Jesus to come or something, and nothing's happening in your life. And you know what I see happening in people's lives? Things other things, outside things start coming in and affecting us and infecting us. Huh? That can be with your health. You can let that come in and infect you, or you can just tell it what the Word of God says to it. Huh? You know, man, anytime you have a pain, you ought to start talking to that pain. Are you hearing me? Anytime, hey, when they tell you it's the cold and flu season, you need to say, praise God, not in my house. I was thinking about this morning, and I walked through and I found this NyQuil stuff on shelves here and there. And you know what I did? I just started walking through and throwing it away. I said, you're not coming here no more. Amen. See, when you can let things come in and choke out the Word. Your feelings will choke out the Word. Your flesh will choke out the Word. That's why it's so important to keep our spirits stronger than our flesh. Whether it's happening or not. See, when I have some lack, I don't just go. I usually go, God, help me. I always do that. But I start saying, nope, lack, you're not supposed to be in our lives. You're not supposed to be in my family. I serve a God of abundance. I serve a God of more than enough. He makes me the lender, not the borrower. He blesses everything my hand touches. I start speaking to it. You can get discouraged or depressed. See, all the cares will start weighting you down. All the pressures of life will start weighting you down. You're still a good person. You're still living for God. You're still going to come to church Sunday. You're still going to put your tithes in. But you're miserable because all the cares of the world are weighting you down. What's the purpose? Choke out the Word. Because if the Word gets in there, and you stir that Word up. See, you stir that Word up and you fertilize that seed by praising God and by speaking it and by thinking it and by meditating on it. He said, if you meditate on it day and night, Joshua, you'll cause your way to be prosperous and you'll have good success. Proverbs 20, he says, attend to my words. Put them in your ears. Put them in front of your eyes. Speak them with your mouth. Because they'll be health to your flesh. And out of that abundance of that heart will come the issues of your life. Oh, but see, even as the preacher, see, even as the pastor, hey man, if I start thinking about who wasn't here today, and I start thinking about how much the offering wasn't, and I start thinking about this problem, and I start thinking about that problem, and I start letting all the cares weigh me down, choke out the Word in there. You understand the purpose of this? Today isn't go to heaven or hell. If you're going to hell, I'm going to get you saved before you leave here, okay? But it isn't that. It's letting the devil get us off our game. Amen. Letting him get me out of faith. Where I'm not moving in faith, I'm moving in my feelings. I'm moving by what I see, what I hear, what I feel. Well, yeah, Hank, but we just got to be real. So I'm telling you something real. And the devil will take you to the grave if you let him. If you're saved, you'll go to heaven. But you know what? I want to live a little bit of heaven on my way. And I can have I can have none of it, or I can have 30 or 60 or 100. I vote on 100. You hearing me? What happens? I let all the pressures, I let all the things. Can I tell you something? I see more people dropping out of church because of this. And it's because we don't stay renewed. Not just this church, but all churches. We just don't stay renewed. We're going by what we see. You know, the blessings of God are not a gauge to your spirituality. The blessings of God are like the icing on the cake. He says, you serving me, Hank? I said, yes, sir. He said, you going to keep serving me? Yes, sir. Sometimes the opposition comes after I say yes, sir, and I have to prove, yes, sir. I'm still going to show up Sunday, and I'm still going to speak to those people. I'm still going to go visit them. I'm still going to go talk to them. I'm still going to live for you. He says, are you really? Will you pick up your cross and follow me, Hank? Yes. Okay, then, man, have some of this, and have some of that, and have some of that. And I had to repent the other day. You're going to like this one. I had to repent because I told Pam, I said, we're just so blessed. I said, you know, if we want something, we usually can just go get it. And I was in a phase where I just wanted some stuff, so I started getting it. Huh? Can I tell you something? Getting stuff doesn't make you sad. It makes you glad. And so I just was getting some stuff. And God was happy too that I was getting it. I wouldn't have got any if it wasn't for Him. But all of a sudden something came inside and I had to repent. And I said, oh, Father, I am sorry. I didn't ask you if you would let me get that. I didn't ask you first. I didn't include you in this process of me getting all excited and getting all happy. I didn't keep you as the source of all this. Are you hearing me? You just blessed me. Everything my hand touches is starting to be blessed, and I just am praising you for it, God. But hold it, man. I don't want to just get stuff to get stuff. I want to get stuff because you gave it to me, and because you provided it for me, and because you're my daddy, and because you love me. And I just want you to know I'm grateful, and I don't want to ever be that ungrateful son. Are you hearing me? He just wants to bless me, But the blessing's just the icing. What he wants is for Hank to serve him. Huh? What he wants is for Hank just to live for him. Not just when I'm in front of you. I can get in front of you guys and just act real spiritual. Huh? And some of you think, oh, I'd like to be like him. And Pam goes, oh, no, you wouldn't. Huh? Oh, I'd like to. Hey, it's easy to live for God when you're around people. It's easy to put on the show, the picture here. It's easy. But when you're by yourself, when nobody's looking, when you got a choice, this or that. Does that make any sense? Anyway, I got off stony ground there, but. But we asked the Holy Spirit to say what He wanted you to hear. So, you notice I didn't ask Him to say what you would like to hear? Huh? I just quit saying, I started saying, God, tell me what I need to hear. And usually I don't like what He starts telling me. But I hear it. I don't just listen, I hear it. Because why? Because He's out for our good. He isn't out to keep stuff away from us. Huh? He isn't out to keep His goodness. He's not rationing out His goodness. Zach, if you be good enough, be a little bit better and I'll give you a little bit more. No. No. Bible says He opens up the windows of heaven and just pours out so much of it there's not any room to put it all. Sign me up. All he asks is, Hank, would you just make me first? I'm going to be honest with you. I've been saved over 43 years. I'm still trying to learn how to make Him first. Does that make sense? I'm still trying to learn that. And I'm learning out that the more He gives me, the easier it is not to put Him first. I guess that was my whole point of saying that a while ago. And so as I was praying that, I didn't pray it and afraid He was going to take it away from me. I didn't pray and I wasn't afraid that I was going to get in a jam because I bought this stuff. No, I prayed it because I saw something. I saw something. I said, God, this is why you can't give us everything we want. Help me see this, Holy Spirit. Illuminate this in my life. Let me learn this lesson now. Because you want to trust me in controlling more. Does that make sense? Let me understand this before it's all here, because when it's all here, whoo! Huh? Like a little kid in a candy store. Huh? Thorny ground. Then the last is the good ground. Good ground. Where am I at? Blew all my pages. Good ground. It says they hear the word, they believe the word or receive it, and they work it. Read what that says. It says they're the good ground. They hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit. They hear the word, they receive the word, and they do something with the word. They make the word work in their life. They make it. It's easy. Let me tell you, it's always easier to do nothing than it is to do something. And that's why the flesh likes to say, "Oh, my God can do anything. Oh, God, I know you can give it to me. If you want me to have it, you do." Because all I got to do then is, just like Steve says, lay on the couch and eat potato chips. Because it's going to happen. But then it doesn't happen. And you go, "I knew that wouldn't work. I tried that before and it didn't work. That never works for me. That never will work for you." Because James said, faith without some corresponding action is dead. It won't work. Won't work. Good ground is they hear the word, they receive the word, and they work it. They work with the word. Huh? I could have left them elephant ears in the bag in the house all summer long, and you know what? They wouldn't have grown. I had to take them and plant them. And now every day I have to go back and push the dirt back on them that the squirrels dug away, you know. The word will work for you. It'll work in your life. It will produce 100-fold if you will let it. If you will believe it. If you will use it. Does that make sense? And it has to be important to you. It has to be valuable to you. Let me read you 1 Samuel real quick. 1 Samuel, where is Samuel? Is that in the Old Testament? What's it after, man? Joshua, Samuel. Whew, I knew he's in there. I was scared that those pages were gone. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. He's talking to Eli here, and I'm going to do a whole message on this pretty soon. Eli was the priest, and we know the story. Eli's sons had been taken advantage. They had been taking advantage of the ladies coming to church. They'd been stealing the offerings. They'd been doing all kinds of stuff, and Eli wouldn't do nothing about it. And so anyway, God says this. Says, "Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your fathers would walk before me forever. But now, says the Lord, far be it from me." He says, "I'm changing my mind, Eli. He said, "For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." I want you to understand what God's saying here. Those that honor me, I'll honor. Those that dishonor me, I'll dishonor. Let me say a different word. Those that value me, I'll value. I said that in relation to this. For you to be the good ground, you have to value the things of God. You have to value the Word of God. You see, you gotta not just read this like it was stories to somebody to teach Sunday school lessons with. You gotta look at this. I got a friend that's a pastor over in Kansas, and every time I talk to him, he says, "Oh, the Lord gave me a scripture." And then he'll tell me the scripture. But what dawned on me after a while was, he didn't just say, "Hey, the Bible says." He said, "The Lord gave me a scripture." Are you hearing me? Man, the Lord said this to me. And when it dawned on me, that's the way I started reading this book. Like, God said that to me. He's saying that. You're saying that to me, Father. You see, value. Does that make sense? Value. Man, you're important. Your word is valuable to me. Thank you for your word, Father. Good ground. Let me ask you a question as we close. I had some other stuff. I won't get to Luke today, Vicki. How did Jesus do the things that he did while he was here on earth? Was it because he was the Son of God? No, the Bible says he came as a man and he suffered things just like we do. Matter of fact, that's why Hebrews says we have such a great high priest, is because he suffered all the things we've suffered, only he did it without sinning. How did Jesus perform all the miracles? How did Jesus was God in the flesh, right? How did he manifest all, how did all that stuff happen in his life? Let me ask you, do you think Jesus was a 30-fold receiver, a 60-fold receiver, or a 100-fold receiver? How many vote for 100? How many not voting? If you don't vote, we're going to stay for another hour. I'm going to start over again. How many think Jesus was maybe a 100-fold receiver? Oh, that's a lot better. I hated to wake some of you up, but if I didn't wake you up, you'd be late for dinner in a few minutes here. How did it work for Jesus? Well, John 14:10, he said, "The words that I speak to you, I don't speak of my own authority, but it's the Father who dwells in me that does the work." Listen to this. How did Jesus do what he did? Well, just point out a couple verses here to you. John 5:30, he said, "I can of my own self do nothing." I want you to hear what he said. He didn't say, "I won't do." He said, "I can't do." Jesus said, "I can't do this on my own." Neither can you. John 8:26, he said this. He said, "The Father that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard from him." I can't do nothing of myself. I'm not speaking the words of my own authority. I'm telling the world what I heard Daddy say. The Word of God. That was 26, 28. He says, "I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak those things." Get this. And then 14 again, 20, he says, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works." How are we going to do the same thing Jesus did, the same works that Jesus did, only greater works than these will we do? How? We're going to do it when we speak the Word of God. You understand, I'm not talking about a mental ascent. I'm talking about to when we have meditated on that Word and we have believed that Word, and that Word has become part of us. When I see and hear, by His stripes I am healed, there ain't no pain can change my mind. There ain't no situations or circumstances or, you know, nothing can change my mind. When I know in here that I am blessed, that I walk in His favor, that He loves me, He cares about me, He's doing good for me all the time, I can't get discouraged. I can't get down. Now, if I let something choke that out, then I'll get down. I'll get discouraged. See, it's easier to not do nothing. But Jesus said, hey, it's that Word in me that does the work. What did He do? He spoke it. Well, you see, yeah, but that was Jesus. Yeah, but in John 16, 13 through 15, He said this. When He, thank you, He, the Spirit of truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When He is come, He will guide you into all truth. The truth is, you ain't broke. Truth is, you're not sick. Truth is, you're more than a conqueror. Truth is, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Truth is, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Man, I didn't know all that was in there. Thank you, Lord. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of Himself, but whatever He hears, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Let me say it again. He, the Spirit of God, will take everything that's mine and show it to you. Somebody's going to get this. Somebody's going to hear this. And when you hear this, you're going to find out that that same Father Word inside of Jesus that did all the works, I don't do this of my own self, it's the Father in me that does the work. When you realize that He's in you too, I got to quit. I got some more. We'll get it next week, maybe. Maybe. Are you hearing me? This Word, see, you don't have to be a genius. How many say, thank you, Jesus? You don't have to have a doctorate. I got one, and you see how much good it does me. I need to go back and learn junior high English again, you know, but. Are you hearing me? You don't have to be anybody but you. Because it's not you that does the work. It's the Word that gets planted in you that does the work. I just told you how to overcome anything the devil's doing to you. I just told you how to have the victory over any situation you find yourself in right now. Huh? I just told you it doesn't matter if you're a one-day-old Christian or a 100-year-old Christian. The same thing applies. And if I don't take it every day, if I don't make it my center focus, if I don't make it the center of the core of my being, something will come in and choke it out, and I'll be saying and talking just like I have all my life. Man, I'm not feeling too good. Boy, I hope I'm not taking the cold. I think I've got that. You ever get around somebody and they start describing to you everything they have? I don't mean to be rude, and I know some of you thought I was rude, but I'm sorry, I don't have time to listen to that. Huh? I want to pray for you and lay hands on you and get you better and all that. Are you hearing me? But man, I don't have time to listen how rough it is for you. I got to listen to what God says. I got to listen to His Spirit. Because man, if I listen to how rough it is for you, it's going to be that rough for me. Because I'm going to think about it and start talking it. And then I'll start living it. And are you hearing me? What happens if I start getting what God says? If I start reading this and I start thinking about it and I start applying it? Listen to me. And I'm done. If you're needing finances, go here and find out some financial stuff in here. And read it. Keep talking. Keep reading His blessings and how you keep reading it and thinking about it and reading it and thinking about it till something in here clicks and you really believe it. Are you believing for health? Yes, He can miraculously heal you, but then the devil still, he'll try to put something else right back on you. So why don't you find you some scripture on what the Word says and start talking that and believing that and talk it and believe it. Your flesh will say, you're silly to do that. Your head will tell you, man, yeah, but you know what the doctor said. And all this, just keep talking it and thinking it and reading it and talking it and thinking it. Hear yourself say it. Just keep on doing it until after a while you'll believe it in here. And they'll go, must have been a wrong diagnosis. Yeah, it was wrong when it jumped on me, that's for sure. Huh? Because when it jumped on me, it had to jump on Jesus. And He already whooped it. Well, y'all don't look very excited about that. Everybody stand. See, I'll be more excited if you'll let us go. I'm going to let you go. If you're here today, you don't know that you're saved. Right now, right where you are. Matter of fact, everybody in here go, Jesus. Everybody in here say it out loud, Jesus. Everybody in here say it out loud, Jesus. Man, don't make me do this until 1 o'clock. Everybody in here say, Jesus. I want to be saved right now. I ask you to come into my heart. I want to live for you. Thank you for saving me. Woo, Jesus is good. If you said that in a minute, something happened. We're going to sing one song here, and if you need to come down, maybe you prayed that prayer, maybe you just prayed it, you come down here and let us know. I want to give you some information here. But come down and tell us and let us pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you want to rededicate your life. Come on down. Let us pray with you. Somebody's here today to get baptized. You come on down. Come on over here, and we've got robes and everything. We'll baptize you. Had a gentleman tell me before church even started, he said, I came to get baptized today. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Go ahead and take him on over there. Congratulations, Randy. Being obedient to the Lord. Being obedient to the Lord. And maybe today you just need somebody to pray with you and agree with you on something. If that's happening with you, come on down because we want to do it. One verse, let's sing it. Yes. No cancer. Cancer gone. Praise the Lord. Isn't He good? Why don't you just tell Him how good He is? Why don't you just thank Him for His goodness in your life right now? If you need to come for anything, you come. But right now, I dismiss you. But in the name of Jesus, I speak the blessings of God on your life. I speak the blessings in your finances. I speak blessings in your health. I speak blessings in your emotions. I believe that marriage to be one of the strongest marriages ever. I just believe His goodness to be in your life. And I believe this day and this week to be one of the best that you've ever had. If you receive that, say, "Thank you, Jesus. I love you." Tell somebody you love them. If you need to come for anything, come on down. Come on down. Be here tonight at 6 if you want to see a good movie.